This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Man, do I have a holiday treat for you brilliant listeners. The paranormal podfather himself, Jim Harold, honors me with a visit, and we have a chat, and it is a lot of fun, so be sure you stick around and check this out. You do not want to miss it.
I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here.
I have a very special show for you this week, a holiday treat, if you will. I have a tremendous guest. He has been in the paranormal podcast business for 20 years. His shows have been downloaded over 80 million times. The Paranormal Podcast has been going strong since 2005, and he's also the host of the hit podcast Campfire and co-host with his wife, Dar, on the Paranormal Report. I am beyond excited to have him on the show. The paranormal podfather himself, Jim Harold, welcome to Brilliant.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it for having me on the show. And always glad to talk spooky stuff. So glad to be here.
It's an honor to have you. So with the Paranormal Podcast and in 20 years of interviewing the leading experts in the field, how have maybe your own personal views, but also just the views of the paranormal world in general shifted in two decades, do you think?
Well, first of all, my views were I was always kind of a believer in this stuff. I mean, and I still do believe in it, but I kind of figured I thought I had it more figured out than I did have it figured out. I'm like, okay, UFOs are absolutely aliens. If there's a Bigfoot, it's absolutely an animal. Ghosts are dead people. And I would say that doing this show has in some ways confused me in the sense that I'm less sure of the explanations for each one of the things I just mentioned. So, I mean, is probably more of a believer, although, you know, I leave some room for skepticism. I think it's good to be skeptical sometimes. But I'm probably more of a believer than I've ever been, but I'm more convinced that it may almost be impossible for humans to figure some of this stuff out.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the more I dig into it, the more I found out there's no answers. There's just more questions.
Questions, exactly.
It seems to be like in a... I figure in like, well, even just on an individual story basis, I'll hear something and I'll be like, I'm 98% sure that's not what happened or that's false. But man, it's that 2% that really keeps me going. Yeah, 2% of wonder that's out there.
True. That's true. You know, and the thing is that, you know, when we're doing the Campfire show, which is my show where people come on and tell their stories, you know, there's some pretty incredible stories there. But over the years, I think I've become more accepting. You know, one of my favorite stories from a long time ago was a guy who said when he was a kid, he saw a leprechaun and he would see him every night when he went to bed. And then, it bugged him for years. He was an older gentleman, went back to the late 60s when this happened. And then 20 years later, he's sitting at some dinner with his brother. And he's like, I got to get something off my mind here. When I was growing up, I used to see a leprechaun in my bedroom at night. And this happened multiple times. And his brother's jaw dropped and said, didn't criticize him like he thought he was going to. He said, oh, my God, you saw him, too. Now, was it an actual leprechaun? Well, I don't know that it was a leprechaun, but maybe it was something presenting itself as a leprechaun, something he interpreted as a leprechaun. But maybe it was very well something supernatural. So I'm not one to say, well, that couldn't happen and that's impossible, because I think we live in a really, really strange world.
Absolutely, it is. That's why I'm coming to the conclusion of, you know, when I was younger, it was real simple. Like you said, UFOs are machines and ghosts are dead people, and get to reading Jacques Vallée and John Keel and the ultra-terrestrials, and man, everything just opens up.
I mean, crypto-terrestrials, and do they live under the ocean? Are they in a parallel universe or a different dimension? You know, the whole trickster thing. In fact, after we get done with this interview, my wife and I are going to watch The Age of Disclosure, that big UFO documentary, and really interested to see that. And there's a quote out there that I really like. It's a British scientist, and I think that, you know, this probably, he said this 60, 70 years ago, I don't know. I said, not only is the universe stranger than we understand, it's stranger than we can understand. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, since you're ready to watch The Age of Disclosure, this whole disclosure thing, the government just feeding us a little bit at a time. And I don't know if they're, you know, just never going to come clean, or if maybe this is just a way of preparing us in stages. I think I'm giving them too much benefit of the doubt there, but how do you think on that?
Well, I think that there's warring factions within the government. I mean, we tend to think of the government as like one thing, and the government is made up of thousands of people and different departments and competing agendas and those kind of things. I think there are people within government, probably some of the people interviewed in Age of Disclosure, who really want to bring us more clarity. And then I think there's a considerable amount of the government and the military-industrial complex that don't want us to have any clarity at all. And they're going to fight tooth and nail to prevent that. So, you know, as encouraging as it is to see people talking about this and this documentary coming out and so forth, I am still not convinced we're going to get the straight word. I know that I was listening to Dan Farah, the filmmaker who made this film, and good for him, and he was being interviewed on Joe Rogan, and he made noises that the current administration might, disclose and admit that there's alien or extraterrestrial life. And I'm like, I'm not convinced. And it's not a political thing. I'm not saying that pro or con versus the current administration. But I'm very skeptical that any president of either party is going to level with us. That's just my own skepticism. And again, that is equal opportunity. That goes for
right.
both parties.
Well, like Luis Elizondo in his book, Eminent, they said that whatever sitting president, they just consider them part-timers or never fill right. in. Because
then
yeah.
they can just run out the clock on it. I mean, for these people, I mean, if you believe there's been a cover-up, and we had Congress people on, you know, sit at the head of committees and saying there's been a multi-decade cover-up. That's not me saying that. That's U.S. Congress people like Burchett and Moskowitz. And what I like about that, one Republican, one Democrat. But you have people like that saying that there's been a cover-up. So, I mean, unless they're lying, I think we can say there's probably been a cover-up. So why do I trust the government to tell us the truth? And like you said, the bureaucracy is very strong. And if there has been a cover-up, it's been since at least Roswell.
Yeah.
What is that? That's going on 80 years pretty soon. So think about that. To them, 4 years is a blink of an eye. One term.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, they're all temporary, so they don't need to know everything. They're,
right.
Yeah. My hope is that we're just, something big is coming and they're just giving it to us a little bit at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I could be too. That could be too. I do think it's very interesting how, if you look at something like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, what people report seeing, you know, is very much like that. And I know that Spielberg has another UFO project coming out, and I'm interested in that. And sometimes you wonder, maybe people are given a little more information, a little more insight about what's really going on.
Yep.
So maybe Mr. Spielberg knows something.
Yeah, I've always wondered that, to be honest, because yeah, it was a dead on movie for what's going on. So let's you know, it's what I hope, I imagine. And supposedly we originally was talking about disclosure. I'm like, well, the people that are disclosing it are the people that are choosing what gets disclosed. So I mean,
right. That's... And then you know, I'm pretty patriotic American. I mean, I'm for national security and strong defense, all like this stuff. So I understand you can't tell the people everything. You can't tell them about every secret military project going on. I mean, I get that. So I have a great respect for that. So it's kind of a push and pull. I mean, I understand the need for some secrecy, but it would seem to me that there could be more transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the campfire has been burning since 2009. It's offers ordinary people a safe place to share their paranormal encounters. And, you know, you can generally expect you're going to get tales of UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, that sort of thing. But have there been, I won't say common, but multiple reports of something that surprised you? Like, huh, I wouldn't.
Well, shadow people, I didn't really know much about shadow people. That's one. I'll tell you another one is doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Doubles. That's one I knew of the concept of a doppelganger, but I thought more like, you know, somebody looks just like you and you right. Oh, I saw your doppelganger. But I mean, the thing that is creepy to me is when somebody will say, well, my husband was at work and I heard him come in the front door and I heard him moving and I even heard him talking. And then, you know, then he was gone. And then 20 minutes later, he came back and I said, well, where'd you go? And he said, I was never here. One of the campfire stories that was really creepy was this woman was the wife of military, and the guy would go out, I don't know, 5 o'clock. I think this was in Germany. They were stationed somewhere. And he would go out like at 5 or 5:30 in the morning for a jog. And this one morning, his wife felt him behind her in the bed, like kind of spooning her. And he's like, this is very weird. He doesn't do this. And he should be out on his jog. And she realized that it was something that looked like him, but it wasn't exactly him. Because a lot of times with visual kind of doppelgangers, they get like one thing off. It's not perfect. And then she started praying the Lord's Prayer. And this thing said, stop saying that. And I'm like, I would be out of there so quick. These people are so brave. These people are so brave. I would be like Scooby and, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. Zoinks, get me out of here, Scoob. I just could not take it. But these people are so brave. But she continued to pray and it kind of went away. But she said it looked like her husband was just a little bit different. And I mean, that's creepy. And then audio doppelgangers, people will hear people talk or mimic voices and there's nobody there. They're not there. It's weird.
I had a kind of a similar thing because me and my wife were out and I was taking pictures of the symbols on tombstones for some of my shorts that I do for headstone symbology and what it means. Mm-hmm. And she was a little ways away taking, you know, her pictures and I was taking some and I heard her say, hey, babe, come here and look at this. And I'm like, all right, well, let me take my picture first. And then I take it and I go down like, and she said, yeah, what'd you want me to see? And I'm like, well, no, you called my name. She's like, no, I distinctly heard you call mine. So yeah, that's
exactly.
That's pretty wild.
I never knew that was such a thing. So yeah, that's a big one too.
Yeah. Doppelganger. Yeah. I've heard a lot of them on your show than I thought I would too. And sometimes I wonder like when they come in the kitchen or whatever, if that could be like a time slip situation.
Well, yeah. And then that's the other thing. Okay. You know, I said the thing about the ghosts or dead people. Well, I think they can be sometimes, but other times I wonder if there's a time element and people have reported, you know, they'll be in a house and they'll see this person in old time clothing or something that they interpret as a ghost. But the person in the old time clothing looks just as scared of them. Like, are they seeing them as a ghost in the other direction? Is it somewhere where like time crosses? It does make you think. It does make you think.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a lot more time slips on that. And one of the, I'll tell you some stories that you already heard from the campfire, but one of my favorite ones I heard is this young kid, he walks out into the hallway and he sees this hooded figure in his kitchen making a sandwich and he freaks out and he yells and he runs and slams his door. And you fast forward about 10 years and he's
he's in a buddy, he's making a sandwich, and he looks and there's this little kid running in the hall. He saw himself.
Yeah, I love that. Time slips, man. It's strange. And I've heard, I think, about three of these stories on your show, which is about three more than I ever thought. It's the cloud castles in the sky. People will see them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of them is actually in one of our early books, and we have a coloring book, and we had the artist make pictures. But yeah, the earliest one I can remember, this woman saw, she looked up in the sky, and it was clouds, and it looked like a castle. But it's not like, you know, when you look up at the clouds, like, oh, that cloud looks like a dog. Like, generally looks like a dog. No. This looked exactly like a castle. She said she could see every brick. She could see, you know how they had the drawbridge and the moat? They had the chain that brings the bridge down. She could see every link in the chain. It's like somebody had basically painted it on the sky. And there have been multiple cases of that. Now, I almost wonder if that is a military experimentation of something, because there were some projects, I can't remember what
it
was called.
Blue Beam, I think.
But the idea was, is what you would do to, like, freak out an adversary is you would put the picture of a deity or something on the sky, whatever this your adversary worships, and then they would think that was that god, you know, telling them to stop fighting or something. So I would wonder, is that something that the military could experiment to see how good it is? And, you know, a picture of a castle would be pretty innocuous to project. I mean, people would think it was weird, but yeah, they wouldn't think it was like Jesus coming down or anything. I don't know. But the weird thing was, like you said, it's not just one person.
Right, yeah.
I had at least three, I think you're about right, at least three people over the course of like 15 years say, I saw something like that.
Because you have one person, you're just like, okay, well, their imagination is getting away from them, or and it's a one-time anomaly, just a crazy, right. But yeah, when they start stacking up like that.
Yeah. And it was far enough apart, you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, if you get five straight shows with a similar story, like, well, maybe the other person heard the other and that influenced their story. But these were like 15 years apart.
Yeah.
So, you know, chances are the second person did not hear the first person. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, those were.
It's interesting.
And the jaw phenomenon, I just find. Blows my mind. I mean, that's something you could totally not think of either. Like, oh, I got absent-minded and forgot where I put my keys. But a lot of these cases are, you know, there's no way you overlooked them. And how many times does that happen to a person? And not?
Yeah. So people are not familiar. There's a book that came out 7 or 8 years ago, I think, by a woman.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
By the name of Mary Rose Barrington, called JOTT, J-O-T-T, just one of those things. And I think all of us have had the experience of, you lose your car keys and you swear you put them down on the kitchen table and you look and they're not there and they turn up in some weird place. Well, these are stories of people who have these incredible stories where, like, they'll put them on the kitchen table. They'll look for a week and they live alone. They look for a week and they can't find them. And then they show back up on their kitchen table. And her theory is that it has a paranormal route to it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's unfortunate because she passed away, I believe. She was an older British lady, Mary Rose Barrington. And really, it didn't stop coming up on the show. I had interviewed her, but not until after I think she passed. And it's like, oh, I wish that she were around so we could talk to her and maybe even have her talk to some people on the show about this, because it's a very popular category of story that we had. And I don't hear it anywhere on any other shows that I'm aware talk about it very much.
No.
And it's just because I happened to interview this woman, and then people start coming on the show, and I'm like, oh, that's a Jot case. And they're like, what in the world is a Jot case? But anyway.
Yep, that's where I heard from. And I got the book. It's a fascinating book, too. And
yeah.
I'll get your opinion on this. And she talks a little bit about simulation theory at one point. And I'm not as well versed on it as I should be. I should cover everything, whether. But they're always talking about, you know, it always comes down to like an architect or a creator of some time. And I'm like, isn't this just science's way of saying we think there's a God?
Exactly. Bingo. If I had my ding, ding, ding buzzer, this is what I say all the time. Okay, so simulation theory, the idea that we're kind of like a computer program and there is a programmer. Well, I'm like, well, first of all, I believe in a creator. I think if you go outside the door and you look at the trees and you look at the biology and the life, the tolerances for us to live on this planet, you know, if it gets, the temperature goes down 20 degrees, we're hunting for a coat. And that's nothing on the scale of possible temperatures, you know, those kind of things. And that's not to mention the atmosphere and the oxygen that's required for us to be able to breathe. All the things, I just don't believe that's all an accident. But anyway, the point is, the idea is that this programmer has created us all as a simulation. Well, is programmer just exactly what you said? Another word for God.
So, as I look at the theory, I'm like, I mean, you're just saying that science is, but you can't say that because you're science, I guess. So you got to make it more complicated, right?
Right. No, that's exactly right. And maybe it is not, maybe the mechanism of creation is not unlike creating an extremely sophisticated computer program. I mean, I've heard it said that if they start looking at molecules at the lowest level, everything breaks down. Like, there seems to be nothing behind it except binary code.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe that is. Maybe God is the greatest programmer of them all.
Absolutely. So, yeah. The Paranormal Report, which I also love, this is what, the second time it's found life? Originally it was with...
It's actually a third time.
Third time, okay.
They did it with a guy by the name of Clayton Morris, and he stepped away, and we started working with Micah Hanks on it. And then it sat for a few years. And we were doing video. I mean, I know video is all the rage now with podcasters. We were doing video originally. Gosh, it must have gone back to, like, I don't know, 2012, 2014, something like that, way back. But anyway, so I got the idea of bringing it back. I always liked it because the Paranormal Report, because it's so similarly named to the Paranormal Podcast, it can be confusing. But the Paranormal Report is, okay, let's look at the week's stories in the paranormal. And that could be UFOs, that could be ghosts, it could be cryptid creatures. And it's a little more lighthearted. We have some fun with it. I still take this stuff very seriously, but we also have some fun because, you know, I think that anything in life can use a little injection of humor and so forth. But we do talk about these cases, and we do have serious discussions with them, and in between we crack little jokes and stuff. And I thought, you know what? I was doing a podcast with my wife, and it was non-paranormal. I was like, it was kind of, we were doing basically the idea of campfire, but just like weird things that would happen to people in life, non-paranormal stuff, like I hit the lottery and those things, and it just didn't seem to be catching. And I'm like, you know, I think we have a really good rapport together.
Yeah,
she's very good. She was a speech language therapist for many years, worked with kids. She's very animated. She's good on camera. She's got a very, if you watch and listen to the show, she's got a very She's very opinionated. So I thought she'd be excellent on this show. And it's kind of cool because she's not, like, she's been around this stuff and she's been interested in this kind of stuff since we were dating, you know, before we ever got married, but not to the extent that I am. And then she's not been interviewing people. So she has a little bit of an outsider's perspective, you know, because those of us who read every UFO article or every article about hauntings or stuff, or watch every TV show, you know, we're too close to it to some extent. So I thought she would bring a nice outsider's perspective. And it really worked out well. People really enjoy it. I think she brings out some personality in me that I keep hidden a lot of the times. So I really enjoy it. That's every week. It's called The Paranormal Report. And it's nice because it's fun, but you also do get caught up on the latest news in the paranormal realm. We try to make sure we cover the big stories. We've been talking a lot about 3i Atlas. We've been talking about the Conjuring House, you know, being up for sale and that whole controversy. And of course, this latest thing, we're going to be watching it together so we can talk about it on The Paranormal Report, this Age of Disclosure movie. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to keep up with the news in the paranormal world.
Oh, absolutely it is. And like I said, you guys have great chemistry. Obviously, there'd probably really be something wrong if you didn't. Yeah. But she brings just such a great dynamic with their opinions. Like you said, kind of an outsider view, too. It's really weird.
We disagree on stuff. I mean, and we'll say it right on the air. Well, I don't think so. I disagree with you. And she'll, you know, be in my place. And but it's good. It's good.
Yeah, it absolutely works. Can we talk a little bit about the virtual campfire, which I love? I think it's an amazing community. I'm on there a lot. And it's amazing communities, great people. It's a real safe space, and it's very uplifting. But can we talk about why you decided to break off and form this?
Yeah. Well, what happened was I've had for years a Facebook group, a virtual campfire on Facebook, and it grew to 27,000 members, which is pretty considerable. But I was finding, you know, whether it was a listener trying to share a story that happened to them, or I'm trying to say, hey, we have this great guest this week, you might be interested. You know, 27,000 people and maybe a few hundred people would see it. And then Facebook was injecting, you know, the feeds with all these ads. And the latest thing that they did was they turned on an AI thing in the campfire group, which I turned off. And then they decided all of a sudden they were going to turn it back on. It's like, wait, I turn off. So enough was enough was enough. So I've decided to wind down that group and, you know, basically at our own expense, have this. There's services out there that will let you have basically your own, like, Facebook group. And that's what this is. It's a virtual campfiregroup.com. And we're about up to, we're nowhere near where the Facebook group was. I think we're up to 3,300 people there. But it is, I don't like this phrase, but it is a safe space in that, you know, if we have any bad actors, we get rid of them. You know, people who are causing problems or something. But I got to tell you, we've been doing this for what? For 4 or 5 months now. And I think we've had to two or three people out. I mean, that's remarkable. It's almost self-policing because people get what it's about and they don't join if they want to create havoc. I mean, it's been really, really good. And people get on and say, this thing happened to me. I think you posted a picture there about a story. People will post pictures. What do you think this is? They'll talk about the shows. Maddie, who works with us, will post polls about different questions and stuff. Dar will chime in about different things that she's noticed. And it's really great. It's a great place to talk about this stuff. And nobody snipes at anybody. And we don't do politics intentionally. And that's very uncommon these days, that you can go into a place and people aren't biting each other's heads off. And that's the idea, is a nice, fun place, virtualcampfiregroup.com. And there is an app you can download. The company that does the community, the service, is called Mighty Networks. You download that app and you can just sign in. But I usually encourage people to start out virtualcampfiregroup.com. Then they can download the app. And all of this is free. There's no charge for it. So it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. And I'm glad that we even have a fantasy football
league
in there.
Which I'm
doing horribly.
I think I've won three so far. So
now I've got you by a couple, but not by much, because it's just been, basically what happens to me is there's player A and there's player B, I'll play player A, he'll be injured, and player B will have a 30-point game. That happened to me just this weekend.
I haven't quite lost this week because I have a guy playing tonight. So if Juwan Jennings gets 80 points tonight, I'm right back. 10 touchdowns, I'm back in it.
Hey, you never know. Never know.
And do you have any advice to a new podcaster just starting out? I'm asking for a friend.
Okay. Well, I think it's important to be yourself. I mean, the thing is that I forget who it was, but there was my family was from West Virginia, so I grew up with country music singers. And there was one famous country music singer who was patterning himself after an older singer. And somebody said, don't try to be him, because there's already one of him. Try to be the best you can be. And I think that's really it. I mean, I think one of the reasons that my shows have done, you know, again, I'm not Joe Rogan, but they've done moderately well, is that I'm myself. I'm not trying to be Art Bell, because ain't nobody going to be Art Bell.
Right, yeah.
And I ain't trying to be Joe Rogan, and I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm just trying to be me. And some people like that, and some people are like, well, I don't know why you listen to that guy. But that's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be for everybody. And so be yourself, be consistent. And, you know, if it's a case of doing something that might make you a few bucks, but it's at the expense of your audience, don't do it. Always try to err on the side of doing the right thing for your audience, because in the long term, that's going to be something that's going to benefit you too in the long run. It's kind of like, you know, it's what's that scientific experiment? They have kids and sees if they can eat the candy now or if they can hold off and double the candy later. That's kind of the way that I believe in this. You never go wrong by doing the right thing for your audience. For example, like with our advertisers, we had tons of chances to take advertisers that, you know, because I do these personal host read ads. And we'll probably be getting away from breaking news here, probably getting away from some of that next year. But I had offers to do personal endorsements for things I definitely don't believe in. And I'm like, nope, not going to do it. And these agencies will be like, why? You're turning down money. And one was a charity, and it was a relatively famous charity you'd hear on radio. And I said, well, it sounds like a good cause. Now, let me look up how much goes to the actual. And I looked at it and it didn't get a very good grade. And I'm like, nope, not doing it. And the agency was like, you're not taking it. Because I used to work in traditional radio and they would take ads for anything. And that drove me nuts. So, but that's just in general, just do the right thing by your audience. Be consistent, be yourself. And you know, it's not easy these days. I was lucky because I started very early and that was a big advantage. And unfortunately you can't roll back the clock and start 20 years ago, but just keep doing what you believe in, keep trying to get better, be yourself and be good to your audience. And those would be my suggestions.
Speaking of making a few bucks, I'd like to thank my sponsors, but I don't have any, so we can keep going. So let's run down of the podcast for you.
Yeah. You've got the Paranormal Podcast, which is my longest running one. That's a weekly show with authors and experts about UFOs, ghosts, all of it. Then we have Jim Harold's Campfire. That's probably the one most people, I would say, try first. That seems to be the most popular and the most accessible. And that's just regular folks calling in and telling their stories. 90 minutes every week. We typically have 9 or 10 callers. And we just let them go in depth about their stories of the supernatural. And then the Paranormal Report, that's the one that I am putting out every week with my wife. And that's a weekly review of the paranormal news out there and a little bit of jibing back and forth. So, and they can find all that on Apple, Spotify, any podcast app, or on YouTube and jimharold.com. And I hope everybody gets to check some of them out.
Definitely go do that, folks. And if you do it and you like it and you're like, man, should I join this Plus Club? The answer is yes. That thing is stacked, Jim. I don't know how you have so much content.
Thank you. Yeah, we had, and that's, hey, if you're just starting out, don't even worry about that. Get the free stuff. There's lots of free stuff. But if you say, man, I love this campfire, I want the whole back archive, you can join our Plus Club. And I'm one of the big companies about a year and a half ago when we were switching the way we were doing. They said, we work with the biggest names in podcasting. You have more Plus content than any of them. And, you know, I feel really good about that. I want to, you know, if somebody's paying, I want to make sure they get their money's worth. And we have about 2,700 episodes in there. So there's a lot to delve into if you like the topics.
Yeah, there's a ton of content. I have a couple of them that I do. I do about three. That's about what I can afford. And by far the most content's on the Plus Club for sure. And thank you so much for taking some time and coming on my little show. I truly appreciate. Huge fan of what you do, and thank you again, Jim.
Oh, thank you, and you keep doing what you're doing, and keep at it, and happy holidays to you and to your great audience. Thanks again, Alan.
Happy holidays. Well, that was an honor and a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. Jim, thank you again. What a nice guy, and here's to you, Jim Harold. Long may the campfire burn. Keep it weird, y'all.